Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. I thank you all for taking out the time to be with us on this evening. I thank you all for allowing God to lead you and guide you to this service on tonight for Blog Talk and Facebook Live. I'm talking on Blog Talk as well as Facebook Live, but I'm going to share with Blog Talk what I shared with Facebook Live. I was not able to post tonight's service. The enemy of our souls did not allow me. It kept blocking me with posting, telling me that my post had expired, and I've been using this post for quite a while. I had no expiration date on it, but that's how the enemy works. When he don't want to get God's word out. But you all, that's why we say you better have a relationship with God. Hey, Pastor Levine, thanks for joining in. You better have a real relationship with God that even when the enemy of your soul try to discourage you, you can encourage yourself and just say, God, I said yes, and I'm going to do what you said, and I'm going to trust God with everything. Even when your texts aren't answered, your messages aren't answered, you have to just so know that you're so in tune with God, and everybody you connected with is in tune with God, that you don't have to worry, because God is God, and God is real. So, like I said, I'm trusting God, and I know that tonight's word, it's going to be awesome. Somebody's going to get something for real. Somebody's going to get something that they need. Somebody is going to get some information that they ask God for. And like I said on Facebook earlier, Blog Talk, I asked God for something, and I had to get quiet in my head to hear his answer. So on tonight, you're going to learn how to agree with your own prayer. You're going to learn how to get quiet in your own mind. When you have to tell your own mind, shut up. Practice that shut up ministry. Because the man and woman of God is going to release tonight that there's no excuse. You're going to get some answers tonight. And I trust God and I believe God, because one thing I know, that God is not a man that he should lie. And he never lied to me, and he ain't going to start. So I just want you all to get prepared. Get your Bibles, pencils, papers, and pads. Your tablets or whatever you need to do, your earpieces, your whatever you need, because tonight God got a word for you and for me. See, I'm ready. So when y'all think I'll be talking about get your pads and pencils, I got mine. See, this is a page I had already wrote on, so I'm going to show you something. I got a fresh page, and I got my pen, and my word is right here in front of me. So at this time, I'm going to hand it over to the man and woman of God, and just let them just release what God has for us tonight. I'm going to be touching and agreeing, and if God give me something to say, I'm going to speak up, but just in case I find something in there for me, I'm going to do like y'all. I'm going to grab a hold. I hope you heard. I'm going to grab a hold. So we turn it over. Mother Tony, and Minister Ron, it is in our hands, and we are ready to go.
Okay, praise God, praise God. Thank you. We are so thankful just to be here. And we are going to go to the throne room of grace and see what the Lord has for us tonight.
Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. Our hearts humble, our heads bowed. Oh, Lord, just to thank you for all that you provided us with, Lord. We thank you for the technology of Blog Talk to be able to come into the homes and hopefully into the hearts of others throughout the world, actually, oh, Lord. The possibility is there, oh, Lord. And bring to them the message and your word about marriage and family, oh, Lord. And tonight we just pray that the Holy Spirit be with us, oh, Lord, as we present to you what we've selected as a subject. Lord, we ask and we give thanks, and we pray for this message tonight. In Jesus' name, every man says amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Well, good evening, Tony.
Good evening, Ron.
Mm.
Oh, we know we were we're thankful and grateful to be here. Thank you, Minister Kaiser, for this invitation. We're saying that this is all we I think we started a little over a year ago.
It's been a year.
So,
if you don't mind, I'd like to offer something to our listeners tonight. Another way of communicating with us. We've got a special email that you can communicate with us in case you have any questions or you would like for us to send you something. And our email is godsfamilyandmarriage@gmail.com.
Which is just
God's Family and Marriage. It's spelled out just like that. GodsFamilyandMarriage@gmail.com. If you want to send something to me right now, it's a brand new email. And I'll send back some confirmation to say, hey, I got your email while we're on the air here. Okay?
We want to.
Any questions that you have, just put them in there and we'll get back to you.
Amen. Amen. Our desire is to build up the lives of the children of the kingdom. And so that's what our goal is. Last time when we were together in January, we did a little survey, and we looked at different aspects and categories of our lives. We're going to go back and visit that tonight. The Lord put on my heart that it is good to have a mission. You know how it says in Micah that, you know, you write it down, and then you run with it. You write down your plan, you write down. And so what we really desire to do is to strengthen marriages and to strengthen families in the way that they can actually visually see their mission on the wall. And so I want y'all to think about that. Do you have a written mission statement? And if not, we're going to encourage you. And we're going to give you sort of an example of one would sound like and look like. And we're going to talk about marriage, but this can be an individual. I think everybody needs a mission statement. They need to know. And I really, really want to think about it because we really want to encourage marriages. We want to be intentional. And we understand that to be intentional is sort of like when you have your car service, so when you get your teeth taken care of, or when, you know, you keep your hairstyle all dutied up, you do that because you're intentional. And so to be intentional about living your life, especially for Christ, we really want to encourage a fresh look this year. As you start to think about what is my purpose, what's my purpose, and we invite you to come along with us as we look into the Word and think through what structure would give to a good mission statement, and then how would that bless your family? How would having a mission statement even do bless your family? And so that's where we're going tonight. And so when we really think about mission and the whole purpose, one of the categories that we talked about in January was purpose. And we asked people to rate their self between 1 and 5. And our statement was, what is the established clear mission for why God joined you as a couple? Now, I want you to think about that. If you're not a couple, what is your defined purpose if God has called you as an individual? And have you dedicated any time to putting your marriage or your family mission in writing with scriptures to support each goal? And so that was our first point. And so we want to take that point and build on it. What is God's mission? And where do we start? I'm going to take y'all back to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to go back to Genesis. And we're going to go back to the very beginning. Do you have that, Jeremy? Genesis
1:27-28.
Hey, going to
Genesis, the third chapter.
No, we're not going to go there yet. Come on back. Come on back.
God created man in his own image. This is the 27th verse of the first chapter of Genesis. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to the writer of Genesis to make sure you understood that. So it was repeated for that reason. And again, I'll repeat it. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created man. He created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.
So God gave man purpose, and that we have purpose. And the way Tony Evans put it, he says it's important truths arise from the account in Genesis 1:26-28. First, we see the word us, referring to the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. The Trinity consists of three individuals and unique persons who make up the unified reality of the Godhead. Second, we see the commission of the humankind, which is to bear the the image of God. God created humanity, man, soul, and spirit, to mirror him, and then he established them in the divine institution called family, to reproduce his image. Therefore, the goal of people in general, and families in particular, is to mirror God in the visual realm. In the visual realm predicted on his reality in the visual, in the invisible reality, The family unit is to serve as a visual sort of photograph of God himself. And so the mission is to replicate the image of God in history and to carry it out, his divinely manifested dominion. And so God gave us an idea. God created from his own idea us as his image. And then our mission is to be reflective of God through the advancement of his kingdom and the rule on earth. Happiness becomes the nature and the natural benefit when this goal is actually activated. So as we think about our mission, how do we actively activate what God wants us to do? And then from that, we get the joy and the love that everybody seems to be looking for. Everybody's like, I'm looking for love. And God gives us that, but we are so wrapped up into our way of thinking that we can't even see what God desires for us. And so as we think about purpose, and you think about your purpose, We want you to think about creating a marriage mission statement. And this is just a vision. It's the vision. Like God gave man purpose, he had a vision for us and for us to carry that out. And that vision was for us to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. He gave us work to do.
Yes.
And so how does this look in our marriages? How does this look as in our individual lives? And so we want to really talk about this vision. And it's not something that exists right now. It's something that will be. So part of it might exist, but it's something that you're going to constantly strive toward. And that is to help to even shape the next generation. We're living, and our parents didn't write down the mission, but we're living out the mission. Y'all know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it is, and so it's important that we are committed to helping visualize that for our children, others around us, and to really create this idea of relationship, because I'm going to go back to the scripture says, let us. And that means that God exists in relationship. He exists in relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those three exist together. And because the way God created it, and it's so far above our heads as heaven is above earth, we cannot even imagine what that relationship looks like. But God created it and created us in such a way that we can experience him. And he wants us to do it within what we call koinonia, within family, within community. And for that community to thrive, we really would like for people to consider that they're going to write it down. I think about Joshua when I was thinking about and praying about this, and it says, for me and my house,
mm-hmm.
we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
You can do what you want to do. I brought you here. You can come to the promised land, but if you choose to keep on being committed to all of those different gods, if you commit to having all those idols, I'm not doing that. I'm going to serve God and him alone. So this is a statement you're going to see over my door. I'm going to write it down. And so when you come up in here, this is what you're going to understand. This is what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so what would the mission look like, and what would it look like on that would say over your door? What would it say on your wall? The mission statement is going to express your core values of life, your primary relationships. It's going to talk about how you and your spouse or you as an individual have a relationship with God. It's going to reflect those your priorities and what's important to you. And it's going to, for a husband and wife, it's going to merge their beliefs together, and it's going to give them one common goal. And so I want you to think about what scriptures are your bedrock scriptures. I often think about the scripture that is the bedrock of this ministry of Matthew 6:33. And Pastor quoted it today when we start thinking, you know, what do you want? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness,
Amen.
And all things will be added unto you.
Amen.
And so putting that as a priority, seeking God, knowing that. And so I want you to think about, if you were going to write a statement about your marriage or about yourself, what would it sound like? I'm going to give you, this is our attempt. We're going to rewrite this one, and when we get together next month, we're going to read our statement to y'all. But we're working on it, and that's what I want you to do. I want you to think about your statement, and it's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's going to be, you're going to take some time to write down your statement. You're going to spend some time praying over it and looking at it, and it won't be scripture verbatim. I mean, yours could, but I want you to think about those terms and ideas that would communicate to you and others what your mission is in life. And ultimately, some of the best mission statements that I've read, and we've been reading quite a few to get an idea of you know, what we wanted to bring to you tonight. It was like, it is something that we're passionate about. Ron and I are passionate about. What are you passionate about? What grabs your heart and keeps you on your knees? What carries the weight that helps you really think about life? And then I want you to pray about this vision and pray about, you know, the rewriting of it, because if Margo's on the line, she's the editor. It's never one right. You write it over and over again. And so we really thought about the Ecclesiastes 4 and 12, where it says that, and I'm paraphrasing, that a cord of three strands are not easily broken.
Mm-hmm.
And so our relationship is so embedded in God. It didn't start off that way. Okay. It didn't. We did not really, as my mama would say, if we had died, we would have bust the bottom out of hell, because we did not have a relationship with Christ when we first got married. I had said under teaching, I knew of God, but did I know God? No, not for myself, not really. And we came into a understanding of Jesus Christ, and it turned our lives around. It was one of the established ways of God getting my attention. That's having a child will change your life, won't it? And when my son was born, I'll never forget sitting holding him and saying, who you going to be like? Who you going to be like, Jimmy? Who you going to be like? You going to be like your dad? You going to be like your grandfather? And then the scripture, and I know this is God because it was not me. It spring forth, it said, mark the perfect me.
Mm.
And I realized at that time I was not living a nickel worth of nothing. That was my mama's thing. And the Lord just projected this little old church, Thank God, Church of God in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Out mm-hmm. on the it was a little old storefront, but y'all, when I would drive by that church, it would jump out. It would be magnified. Now y'all know that was the Holy Spirit, right?
Okay.
And it got my attention. I went by, and it's all history. God saved me. He saved me. He saved me. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I get here to talk today. And the reason I talk about that, because it is the essence and the very foundation of our mission. It is our relationship with Christ. What is your relationship with Christ? And so in our first sentence of our, or the very first part of our mission statement says that we are Christ followers and not ashamed, and are
Amen.
Not ashamed.
Amen.
That he is the center of both of our lives. He's the center of our home, and he's the center of our marriage. I want to stop there. So I want you to think about how you would phrase your statement, how you would start your statement. And that we are committed to a lifelong, no-cut contract.
Mm-hmm.
That means that one of us don't walk the other one to the grave. is that option. And so we are looking to be totally committed, so much so that it allows us to focus on keeping our individual faith alive and growing for each other. And that it helps us rise above the cares of life and the pressures of a hard time. It encourages us to laugh a lot and to be open and passionate. It is designed to help us pursue support for each other and to really live out our faith. And it's to reach out in love and to reach out in love to serve our family, to serve our friends, and to serve the body of Christ. So that's just what we started thinking about. And so Ron has some questions to help us. No?
Yeah.
Some ways that you might want to think about developing your statement. How you might want to, so you might want to write some of these questions down. And if you send us an email, we will send them to you, so you don't have to write them down. You can sort of think about it. And so this is sort of like a process of developing your mission statement. And like I told you, we've been struggling and trying to get through ours. And so and these are some of the questions that we answered, we looked at as we started to develop our statement.
It's imperative that you develop your questions based on your marriage or your hope for marriage. But here's a collection of questions that we could use to get the discussion about marriage started. There's seven of them, and that's just an arbitrary number. It could be 700 if you want. It could be three.
It could be whatever is
most important to you. And that thing. But what do you like about our marriage?
Mm-hmm.
That's a question you would sit there and you would discuss across or next to your spouse there at the table.
Yeah, and so when we said some of the things that we liked about our marriage is that we were friends before we were lovers, which gave us the opportunity to really know each other well, and that friendship has continued. So we like that about our marriage, that we do have a friendship. Some people say, you know, I don't like that my spouse. I really like me some Ron Montgomery.
I like me some Tony.
And so it is a mutual friendship. That's part of it. And it is, I would say, the bedrock of our marriage is our love for Christ, because that gives us our ability to love one another.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's take that coin and turn it on the flip side.
Uh-huh.
What do you like about our marriage? And ask your spouse. Your spouse.
Your spouse?
Oh, yeah, but you are my spouse. What don't you like about our marriage? So you would flip the coin over and see what you don't like about our marriage.
And then sometimes that might be, you know, when you speak words that don't encourage. And so, or when things get bad, you distance yourself and go into the other room instead of sharing your feelings. You know.
And there might be some temporary things that are overcome, but there are annoyances. Like one spouse or the other might be habitually late or a little tardy.
A little.
For appointments.
Me.
Late.
I know one thing is that Tony hates us when I come to the dinner table late after she's set the table and placed the food there. And, you know, she knows I like packing hot food. And I'm going to arrive at the table late. So, I mean, and that's a, you know, temporary thing because, you know, after I get satiated, everything is all right. That thing disappears. But the next time, you know, she has a tendency to want to delay the setting. And she'd rather endure me saying, where my food, place it before me. That I have it sitting there, and I come there when it's getting cooled off.
You know, and I know that some people are listening. And they say, you still set the table, and you give your husband put this plate before him. Now I don't do that all the time, but I do it on a regular basis.
She does it often enough. I have no complaints with me.
But and so what's the next?
The third question, why do you like being part of our marriage? Sitting there talking to your spouse. And the question is, why do you like being part of our marriage? And my answer to that is because of the totally relaxed atmosphere of dealing with the other human being is. You know, there's no pretension. I've already made my impression, so I can be relaxed and honest.
So you can let your hair down and you can just be who you are.
I can be who I am and what I am because there can be no pretensions because you know me too well.
I know, ain't that the truth? You know, so just being what I like, it's being in a safe environment, having not having to be afraid. It goes to that that other scripture that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And that becomes part, that's another one of those bedrock scriptures of our family. And actually it's posted on the wall in the kitchen because it is to be in an environment that you are free to be yourself and you don't have to be feared. So it's that love casts out all fear. And so we want to, that's what I like about it, you know. And then there's other things you can write. I mean, you know, that's just our way of making sure that we don't go over our hours.
Really? that was the third question. Or the fourth question?
That's the third question.
What is different about our marriage? And that's really a thought question. Because, you know, a different, what are you comparing it to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well. I would say I'll never forget when we first got married how we had no money, but we had saved up a little money, and so Ron buys a piano, a little electric piano, and I get a washer and dryer. Okay, I know that's sort of strange, right? But we would have time where we would just sing and play, and that was our entertainment. So we get the morning, you know. And I would wash the clothes, and we were just happy, just, you know, having something real simple. And when our friends would come over, they would just, you know, chime in. And I think about that as the kids got older, how that was just part of our family. Lots of music. We loved the music. It made us sort of different. The other part is that we didn't go anywhere without our kids when we first got married. And people would say, well, we're having a party, but it's adults only. And they say, well, thank you, but we won't, thank you for the invitation, but we won't come because if our kids are not welcome right now, we're just not, you know, we're not participating. And I know people thought we were weird, but.
Maybe it sounds like a weird request, but in hindsight, it was a good decision.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were times when we could attend adult affairs, but at that time, it was important that our kids spend as much time with us as possible. It was partly because of my job. I was gone a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those family evenings are very, very important. So that may have been a little bit of a difference about our marriage. Next question is number 5. What other marriage do you really respect and why? You know, I've thought about this question, and I know a few marriages that I look at now, but I look at my parents' marriage. And the reason I really respected it is because my father taught me 2 things. He taught me how to be a good husband, and he taught me how to be a good father. And, I mean, I attempted to emulate him in both of those things. And I don't have any regrets about that. He was a great man.
I think about the same. I started off saying that, you know, our parents didn't have a written mission statement, but I think about my mom and dad's marriage and how it has impacted my life, and how it really has helped me see what love looks like, especially when dad was sick and mama took care of him. And there was nothing that she would not do to make sure that he was at ease, at, you know, whatever he wanted to eat, she was there to serve him.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a servant's heart, and it made me understand the way how I needed to serve my husband. And that was important. I also think about our pastor and his wife and how their marriage was so transparent to the congregation all the time, and their 4 kids. And, you know, I just watching them over almost 50 years. They were almost married 50 years before she passed away. And it was such a great example of what God looks like when you are dedicated to one another and dedicated to ministry and not afraid to stand up for each other. And so
yeah.
that has been a good example for us. And to watch Pastor after Lois has passed away be more on fire for him as before. But we've watched that even in our cousins as Sandra picked up the mantle after her husband passed away. Just to watch how couples have served together. And so that was, and then we get to see young couples who are serving together.
Mm-hmm.
That has been a blessing. We get to support them, our minister and his wife that's over the couples at our church, and to watch them and to support them. So it has been a blessing to watch marriages over years. I'm sorry, I'll go on.
What is important? This is number 6. What is important to our marriage? Talking to your spouse now. You say, what is important to our marriage?
I would say that what's important that people know that Christ is the center of our marriage. And sometimes, as Christ being the center of our marriage, it gives us an opportunity to help other marriages. I think one of our goals has been is to pour in the lives of other marriages. So what's important to our marriage is that we figure out what we're not doing well and do it better so other people can look on and see what Christ looks like when things are being fixed. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well,
mm-hmm.
It's marriage is a journey. It's not a destination.
No, that's right. It's work.
So you have right now.
Good job.
Mm-hmm. That's right. J-O-B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
With no vacation or sick time.
That's right.
Now, here's the seventh question. But, again, you know, you're going to make these questions up depending on
mm-hmm.
your situation, your ilks, if you will, your likes, your dislikes, your interactive transmissions with each other.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a marriage do we want to have? So this is painting a picture of what you want it to look like. Now be careful. This has a marriage. This has a description that you want to be your own and not something else. Now, we're not talking about Prince Charming and Cinderella man.
Yeah, please, let's not go Disney. And please, let's not use any
Tyler Perry.
Let's not,
Tyler
Perry, please, save us, Lord. You know, but.
So let's talk to the allegations with marriage. Remember, because of the parameters of this program and where we are and what we're doing, you know, you want to start with Christ and Sarah.
Mm-hmm. And so the scripture talks about, you know, marriage, and it gives us an example that, you know, let me find my scripture, but that the husband's responsibility is to the wife, and the wife's responsibility is to the husband, and that when you go ahead,
I don't know, you know, while you're looking at that, and I think I know where you're going with that.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is another excellent example of a man of God. Is my dad, before he went to bed at night, he would get on his knees and he would pray. And I don't mean, you know, kneel down, pray 2 seconds and get up. He was on his knees and, oh, gosh. I mean, I was a young man at the time, a little boy. I saw him do this all the while I was growing up. And I could swear he'd be on his knees for a good 10, 15, 20 minutes, depending on what his activities were that day. He was such a firm example of what it took to be a father, a husband, and a good Christian man.
I think that is important because I get the benefit of that in you as a husband, and so that's a blessing. Just to think about what Ephesians 5 says about wives and husbands, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it actually starts at the beginning, and we've taught on this before, but I want to look at the 22nd verse when it says that wives submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. And now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, that they love their wives just as Christ loved the church. I want to get to this part, and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of the water of the word.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to talk about that the wife should love the husband to respect the husband, and the husband to love the wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I think about the kind of marriage I want that in my marriage. I want that. I want it to, you know, to be covered. I want my husband to love me, and I want to be able to love him and respect him. That's what I want in my marriage. Now, what does that look like? That's going to look like it's that whole sacrifice of love.
Mm.
And so here's an example. Ron's going to read an example of a mission, of a marriage mission statement that was shared with us.
This was a couple, Dave and Donalyn Curry, and they're a nationally syndicated couple. They do marriage seminars, and they publish married things. It's interesting. They've been married for 44 years. They were high school sweethearts. And somewhere in the latter parts of their marriage, they start feeling more like roommates.
Yeah.
Than a married couple, and they're trying to figure out what was going on there. And that's when they developed their mission statement so they could kind of look at their marriage more clearly and what it would have matured into and what they wanted to mature into. So they began with a full surrender to Jesus Christ and the difference he makes in both a life and a home. Our marriage is a lifelong adventure of committed and genuine friendship that, one, focuses on keeping our individual faith alive and growing. Two, rises above the routines of life and the pressures of tough times. Three, bonds with the crazy glue of laughter, openness, and passion. Four, displays persistent support and an exclusive faithfulness to the core. Five, models the realities of a healthy marriage up close and personal to our kids. Six, builds a home where people are strangely and supernaturally encouraged. And seven, reaches out in love and service to family, friends, and community. And that's their marriage mission statement, Dave and Donalyn Curry. Mm-hmm.
And so this gives you an idea of what it might sound like, your statement, your mission statement for your marriage or your mission statement for your life. And it's not set in stone. You write it and you visit it, and every couple of years you go back and revisit it, and God will have taken you, as Ron said, on another lap or another part of your journey, and you might rewrite it and add something different to it. So I know this was not probably a typical session, but it's what the Lord put on our hearts,
mm-hmm.
to talk about the purpose of your life, your marriage, and to write down that mission. And so with that in mind, we will turn it back over into your hands.
Just want to make sure that you remember that that email that you can communicate with us at godsfamilyandmarriage@gmail.com. godsfamilyandmarriage@gmail.com. Okay, and we can share some things with you through email, some of the documents and the readings that we've suggested, and of course the scriptures. So please stay in touch with us, and we'll see you. I say see, but I mean, we'll hear you. You'll hear us, I should say, next month, and that'll be the month of March, and that'll be the 28th, exactly 4 weeks from today, 28th of March. Minister Sylvia,
it's in your hand.
Yes, I was trying to type in your email on Facebook, so anybody want to type in or ask questions,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to make sure that they got it.
Okay.
So
thank
it's
you.
One word, godsfamilyandmarriage@gmail.com.
That's correct. God's Family and Marriage.
God's Family and Marriage.
Is it G-O-D-S?
Correct.
Okay, let me go back. So I'm going to make sure. Okay, spell it for me so I can have make sure it's on here correctly.
GodsFamilyMarriages at gmail.com. And, of course, God's Family and Marriage is just one word, no spaces.
That I have just like that. So I'm typing in here. I'm putting in my little dot. It says to ask any and all questions about marriage and or family. Thank you. So I just want to say thank you for what you all have brought to the table tonight. So it may not seem like a lot for you, but for myself and others, like I said tonight, we were going to get something that we needed. And we needed because most of us don't go into a marriage with a mission. We go into marriage with issues. We go into marriage with, let's keep it real. We go into marriage to keep somebody else from having.
Good point, man.
You know, we go into marriage. Sometimes some of us go into marriage to keep somebody else from having it. I'm just, you know, that's another ministry, but that's the truth. You know, so some have been tricked into marriage. You know, we talked about that last time. You never know what people go into marriages about. So for this, some needs to have a mission statement and some needs to have a remission statement. In other words, they need to redirect.
Right.
You know, I remember growing up, I would hear people say, we didn't love each other when we first got married, but we learned to. And I've always, I don't want to learn to love nobody. Love me, you know, from the beginning, because, see, when you first met me, I was young, fine, slim, and had one color. But I need you to love me now with everything that came with me, whereas we got older. You know? That's what I mean. They may need to redirect their mission. So I thank God for that. That's just what I was saying. But I'm going to see if anybody on Blog Talk would like to ask any questions or have any statements and just say, God, we thank you for tonight's service. Blog Talk, the lines are open. Please go ahead.
Well, good evening. This is Minister Margo. I'd like to thank Missionary Montgomery and Minister Ron for this very intriguing session. Actually challenging. I guess that's the word we hear a lot nowadays about challenges. Challenges to look carefully at what we're doing. The whole idea of writing it down is important, and as Minister Silk said, revisiting it as needed. So thank you for putting this before us and helping us to shape our thoughts, our actions in a way that God would be pleased with the work that we put in so that our relationships can reflect his word and his purpose. Thank you so much. God bless you both.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Is there anyone else? Okay, we may not have anyone else.
Amen. This is Cecilia. I just wanted to say I thank God for what I heard.
But,
One of the things that I wanted to remind everyone of is that it is a delay, so I'm trying to right now make sure I take care of this echo that is in the background. And I wanted to say I wanted to thank you all for reminding me. And it's also Apostle's birthday this week and this day, about how great a teacher God had blessed Smile3E to have, because she definitely caused us to and taught us to write mission statements, vision statements, statements of faith, your bios, your resumes. And she not only had you do it for your ministry, but she had you do it for yourself. And she would cause us and ask us to send them in. And when we send them in to us, then she would, you know, pray with us over them. And she was actually, it was like sending it to a teacher. It was like being in a classroom where she was always teaching you that you wanted to have a vision. You wanted to have a statement of faith, because like missionary and Minister Montgomery said, a lot of times we go into relationships and it's so superficial. But I always remember Pastor Fred saying to me, "Cecilia, girl, you looking for Jesus. I don't know if someone's going to be able to fit that thing that you have." And I said, "Well, Pastor, I guess I'll be single all my life then." And it's amazing, because that's exactly what happened, because I was determined I wasn't going to settle, but I also knew that I wasn't in a state of mine to be with someone. And I would always tell Apostle Sandra Thomas, "I am so glad that God didn't let me get married, because I would have messed somebody up." And it was just, I was being honest with myself, because I was just too spoiled, et cetera, et cetera. But I thank God for you all teaching, and you're teaching it to people that will hear this at a young age prior to getting into that relationship. As Minister Margot and Minister Sylvia already said, yes, you can do those resubmissions and those recounts and go back and do those redos. But it's really phenomenal when you have great teachers like you all and Apostle Sandra Thomas that'll help us to get it right at the beginning. And if our commitment to God is right, then it's he that finds a wife finds a good thing. We got a whole bunch of wives looking for husbands, and that's a whole nother message. But thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle.
Is there anyone else that would like to make a statement or ask a question or give a comment? Okay. Before I ask the Montgomerys to pray us out, I want to make two more statements. I know that a lot of people get married to get out the house, because they figure their parents are too strict or they're in a situation. But they marry somebody just to get them out the house, not realizing, as Brother Tony said earlier, marriage is a job. You don't have a time clock. You don't get breaks. You don't get a lunch break. You get lunch time. You don't get a dinner break, but you get dinner time. You don't get vacation, sick time, comp time, or overtime. Some people get married because they say, I did that to save my life. But we're saying if you trust God and you give it yourself and everything in you to God, God will save your life. Don't wait on the next pair of pants that comes to the door. Wait on God.
Amen.
Wait on God. Ask God to send you your husband. You know, ask God to send, you know, make the vision plain. Tell God exactly what you want. Don't just say, I want a man, because you will get a man that's trying to wear the same dress you wear. You will get a, let's be honest. You will get a man just because he has a title man. But just tell God what kind of man you want. You heard Mother Tony say, She loved the praying time. You know, somebody gonna worship with you, pray with you. When you get sick, lay hands on you. Not throw hands for you, you know what I'm saying? Not putting the muscles on you. But they're trying to anoint you and help you and pray and trust God.
Yeah.
Just know this is something that we really needed tonight, because most of us don't say our marriage is a mission. That thing that got in me.
Hey,
marriage is a mission.
Yes, my God.
Because it's God's word. It's God's way.
Come
it's
on.
God's plan.
It's
marriage
God's
is
plan.
A mission. So understand, when you go into marriage, you have to go into a mission. And you have to understand, if you have been divorced, separated, whatever, what made you stay? What made you come back? What made you love me in the first place? A lot of times we break up marriages or get out of marriages because somebody else said it. You better watch out for the friends. Just looking at the shoes you wearing and the suit you wearing and the dress you wearing and the coat you putting on, you better look out. Know your mission and know somebody else's mission. Know how to redirect your mission. So that's all I have to say for the service on tonight, because while they were teaching, I was listening to God say different things to me concerning myself. That's why I say your mission. The man and woman of God started off about your mission, your marriage, your family. They made it personal. So make sure you don't ask questions somebody else say ask. Ask your own questions. Because it's your marriage, your family, your life, your choice. All right, I want to remind you all of our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All shall be added unto you. That's right, Minister Ron. I want you all to come back on Friday, because it's the first Friday of the month of March, and that would be my Friday, and I'm just waiting to see what God is going to give me to speak on. But just know, this ministry right here, Smile 3E Iron Sharpening Iron, is coming to you any night that we come on. It's coming to you from the Word of God. We will be here Friday night at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Come back on Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with our very own apostle-elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Sheila Kaiser, with Minister Brandon Kaiser. And the next Monday, the first Monday of March, at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will be back on the air, Blog Talk and Facebook, with Dr. Serena Wright. So you all, please join us. Don't forget, write down your mission, because the fourth Monday of March, we will be on Facebook as well as Blog Talk looking for your report, whether as one question, two questions, three questions that you provided or you put to your partner as for your mission. So, with that being said, we're going to let the man and woman of God pray us out on tonight.
Yeah, just to follow up on that next time that we're on, we're going to show you how to have fun with your marriage, or we should say in your marriage.
Amen.
So we're going to talk about the fun stuff, too. Okay? Missionary, that was so insightful what you said about most people don't have a mission in their marriage. They just bring issues to it.
That's it.
My Lord, brother, that was so insightful. And that's something you can address in your mission statement, to identify those issues and get rid of them
that's
in
it.
The mission.
How do we fix it?
Okay, Missionary Tony going to pray us out of here, y'all.
All right.
So, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come. We come and we bow down before you and we surrender ourselves to you that you, God, might fulfill your purpose in our lives, that our desire, Lord God, is to live according to your plan. We ask, God, that you bless this ministry, Lord, that it will grow, that it will go and it will fulfill the purpose that you have made for it, that you will touch the lives and of the leaders, Lord God, Apostle Elect, Cecilia, and Minister Kaiser, as she, I always want to say Renee, and I'm trying to do better, Sylvia Kaiser, as they, Lord God, continue to do the work that you have placed at their hands to do. We thank you for tonight and for the opportunity, Lord, for your spirit to just feed into the life of your people. We just thank you, Lord. And as we just bless your name, for you are great and worthy to be praised, we ask, God, that you go, Lord, overseas, Lord, to Ukraine, where all of the conflict is going on, God, and we ask that you lift up a standard there, Lord, for those righteous that are praying, Lord God. You see, Lord, what they stand in need of. We ask that you bind the hands of the evil one, Lord, that comes to sift them as sand, God, and that you, Lord God, will defend those, Lord, that are standing up against wrong. We just ask that you just bless and have your way, and we'll be careful to give your name praise and glory. These things we pray in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.